Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The ability to dominate, to control, to destroy, to hurt, to kill, is often perceived as power, as real strength. We certainly measure the strength of our country this way, the strength of our military might, the strength it has to kill others, to blow up things, to win in a battle, the strength it has to defend this country against those who would harm it. We measure the strength of our economy the same way, the strength it has to determine global markets, trade patterns, other countries' economic priorities. We measure the strength of human beings in much the same way. People are strong when they can win in a fight, when they can defend themselves, when they can keep others from hurting them by whatever means possible, when they can tell others what to do. It is a basic assumption that power is this. In nature, we assume that a hawk is more powerful than a sparrow or a rabbit, and a wolf is more powerful than a deer because the predator can kill their prey. And we apply that same assumption to our lives, or rather, we don't really apply it. It's the understanding of power that lives deep inside us, the understanding of power that is built into us. It's the basic survival of the fittest mentality that lives in our reptilian brains and controls some of our most basic and base feelings. And it would be one thing if having power meant that you could do those things and, well, don't. But having power seems to mean that you must do those things to prove that you are powerful. It is probably what inspired George Zimmerman to take a gun and kill Trayvon Martin. The belief that he was threatened. The belief that he needed to defend himself. The belief that he had every right to exert his power through violent means. I don't know what you've heard about the murder of Trayvon Martin. To confess the truth, I don't watch the news. But I hope that you've heard about racism in this country. That the only reason that Trayvon was suspicious was because he was black. I hope that you've heard words like white privilege. And actually listened to people talk about how being white in this country gives you freedom and power that you simply don't get as a black person in this country. I hope that you've heard these words and not dismissed them out of hand, because they are more than words. They are truth. They are the reality that we live with. And to believe otherwise is to be asleep. And Jesus spends a whole lot of time in the Gospels telling his disciples and us to keep awake. Of course, Trayvon's murder is not the only example of the use or misuse of power that has been running through the news of late. There's that whole Coney thing that was going around, where a bunch of powerful Westerners, after watching a 20-minute video online, seemed to know better than Ugandans what needed to happen in Uganda. The power to control, to determine fate, to direct. And then there are all those new contraception laws being passed in various states by people with power, trying to control the bodies and the rights of women. These are all classic examples of power over others. These are all ways in which we as a society view power to be. The power to control others, the power to direct others, the power to hurt others. In this context, Jesus' words today in John make little or no sense. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. In this text, Jesus suggests the opposite of what we believe to be true about power. He suggests that power is about dying and rising. He suggests that his being lifted up on the cross, his being killed by the power of the state, will judge the power to kill and the power to destroy, not as strength, but as weakness. Jesus suggests that those who cling to their power and privilege will never truly live, while those who let go, who fall to the ground, who die to themselves, will have life abundant, more life than they ever imagined. And that life is powerful. A power not built on the need to control or to dominate, a power rooted in life, so abundant that death itself cannot contain it, that death is transformed by it, that destruction is destroyed by it, that the grip of control is loosed by it. It is a power that is not about control or destruction, but as our text suggests, it is a power that is about forgiveness, repentance, submission, tears, and love, the law written on our hearts. Of course, letting go of power and privilege on our own is impossibly hard. It goes against every fiber of our inner survivalist, our desire to fight, to be strong, to determine our own fate. Which is why Jesus doesn't ask us to do it on our own. We do not turn in, looking for our own inner resources, but we turn out to be drawn to the cross and to the empty tomb, because it is there that we learn what it means to let go of power. Yesterday was the feast day of Archbishop Oscar Romero. He was gunned down while lifting the chalice during communion on March the 24th, 1980. He was killed because he spoke out against the military government using its power to oppress the poor of El Salvador. Interestingly enough, he was given many opportunities to save his own life. He was warned and cajoled by many powerful people in the government. If he had quit speaking for the rights of the people, he would have been guaranteed safety. Instead, he chose to listen to the people. He chose to listen to his church, the body of Christ in the world. He listened to them and walked with them and used his privilege not to tell them what to do, but to speak with them against the violence. He was able to do this not because he was particularly brave, but because his faith called him to it. Because the cross of Christ taught him the way of humility and death. Romero said many beautifully powerful things, life-giving things in his life. And just weeks before his death, he said this: "My life has been threatened many times. I have to confess that as a Christian, I don't believe in death without resurrection. If they kill me, I will rise again in the Salvadoran people. If they should go so far as to carry out their threats, I want you to know that I offer my blood to God for justice and the resurrection of El Salvador. Let my blood be a seed of freedom and a sign that hope will soon be reality. And indeed, his funeral was attended by 250,000 mourners. And it's considered possibly the largest political demonstration in all of Latin American history. But more than that, his life and death spoke the gospel of Christ, of the power of dying and rising. And it spoke of a hope for a world where there really would be an end to violence, an end to the power of dominance and destruction, a world where God would indeed write God's law on all of our hearts, and a world where we will all have life and have it abundantly. Amen.